Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Friday, December 1st, everyone. Happy December. Happy December, Jason.
Yay.
Woohoo! Wow, our Prime Life Times December edition is out in many, over 100 area locations. Actually, we're in the process. We got our 19,300 editions delivered to us on Tuesday, and so they're being distributed to Walmarts and IGAs and places to and fro throughout the East Central Illinois area. Actually, I think we're in 7 different counties, and you can find out all the locations at the website, primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com. That's the name of the paper. And there's a tab that says distribution, and it's all alphabetized. So you'll see from the various towns, Champaign, Urbana, Danville, and all around the area where you can pick up a copy. And it highlights The Wonderful Life, the radio drama that we'll be putting on the radio in the coming days. It highlights 2 Singing Men concerts a week from tomorrow. Saturday, December 9th, we'll be in Danville at the Danville Mall. We're excited about that. And then the following Saturday after that, on the 16th, we'll be at Marketplace Mall. And that'll be, I think, our 19th year in a row where the Singing Men, dressed in their tuxedos, will put on a God-honoring Christmas concert. So those are both free. So a week from tomorrow, and then in 2 weeks from tomorrow, there'll be 2 free Singing Men concerts at noon on the 9th in the Danville Mall, and then the 16th at Marketplace Mall in Champaign. But the Prime Life Times, they have a half-page ad with the Singing Men shown in the 2 concerts, along with some great Christmas stories and testimonies. And it's a great article. Probably on Monday and Tuesday's edition of Mark and Friends, or at least one of the 2 days, we'll have Marianne in the studio, and we'll read some excerpts and highlight the Prime Life Times for you. But we're excited how God's using that. We've already added 4 pages into this December edition. And last month, we had 17,300. We had a couple more thousand to the printing. So this month, we have 19,300. And have them available at different venues and outings and here at the Great News Radio Center and certainly here at Lincoln Square Mall and other locations. So, yeah, exciting times, jam-filled, packed days. While you were praying, you were sharing a picture that God's given you about his grace and mercy and his favor. And I've had one, I don't know when it started, probably last few months. I've thought about this many times, or maybe it's one of my closing thoughts at night, but picture this or indulge me to share this. But you know how, I don't know, a year or two back, that there are literally billions of solar systems? It's unfathomable. You know, I kept saying, there's a billion of them. It's not just like our solar system or our Milky Way, which is unfathomable. It's so beyond what our brain can comprehend, but it's big. But then there's like, I guess at least they estimate 2 billion of those. It's beyond what we can imagine. Even on our wildest imagination. But God's even still bigger than that. Even our greatest thought, I think it's C.S. Lewis or whatever, you know, it's always less than what God is. Words are inadequate. Well, of late, I've been thinking, okay, this is how I kind of picture my relationship with God to some degree. Okay, the vastness of the ocean, it's pretty vast. Of course, it's limited again, but it's vast in comparison if you were just a raindrop. And so many times I imagine myself, I'm just this little raindrop, and I kind of like if it had rained, I'm returning to the ocean, which is God, if you will. And I'm like just this really insignificant little raindrop, like a nothing. And you have this vast ocean. Of course, the illustration breaks down because God is even greater than this immense, what, bazillions of gallons of ocean. I mean, I don't know how many bazillions of gallons, but, you know, it's a lot. But I picture myself as this little raindrop, and I kind of delight in my mind. It's like, okay, God, I'm returning to you today into the ocean. And then as the ocean evaporates and, you know, that whole process of we return to God. So I return to the ocean, and he sends me out as that vapor, that mist, to do that work for that day. So I kind of say, okay, Lord, let me be empowered by you. Help me be effective or useful to bring you glory. But I kind of then imagine at the end of the day, this little raindrop returning back into this vast ocean. Mm. It's kind of me like leaning into the Lord or just returning to God, hopefully accomplishing some of the work that he had set out for me that day. But I picture just that insignificant little raindrop. Mm. And it is insignificant. And yet God knows me and welcomes me into the ocean of who he is, his presence. But it's kind of my way of thinking, as insignificant as that little raindrop is, it's like, you know, how God numbers the hairs on our head and he knows everything. In the vastness of the bazillions of gallons of water, he recognizes that little raindrop, if you will, returning into the ocean to then be energized or renewed to be sent back out as that whole process of, you know, the clouds. Mm-hmm. And anyways, so you kind of gave me a good illustration of something that you've put into your mind and heart. And I have been thinking about that, just being that little raindrop that I'm glad I get to return to that big ocean God. Of course, you know, again, that's limiting and God's greater still. But
sure,
you know, when you compare one little raindrop to the bazillion gallons, it is pretty small.
Yeah. Well, I think Voltaire said, every snowflake is a part of an avalanche.
Hmm.
And so the idea that the snowflake, which we would see as this insignificant little thing, that we can't even see all of it with our naked eyes, together are part of something that is incredibly powerful and immense. And so, yeah.
Voltaire, you heard it right here on Mark and Friends. Oh, okay. So, anyways, you gave me a word picture, an illustration, and I thought I'd share that with everyone. So, if you feel like you're a little insignificant drop of water, it's still vast in the all-encompassing God that will work in and through you some unique things today, designed for you to accomplish with his power and strength. In the season when we give praise and thanks to our Lord of Lords and King of Kings, let's be empowered today to be those effective raindrops for God. But now turning to Exodus chapter 4, verse 14, let me begin reading, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron, the Levite?'" Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah.
We'll pick up. I guess it's been a few weeks since we've been in this book. We've had other special broadcasting and other topics that we've shared during the Friday edition of Mark and Friends. But those of you maybe just tuned in, you read the Prime Life Times and you learned about this radio ministry and you're like, now what is this program? Well, on Fridays, generally, Pastor Jason Schiffo and I have been going through this book of Exodus. Many months now. We're into chapter 4, and this is our tendency. We'll probably have some special programming around Christmas and maybe next week or in 2 weeks. So I'm not sure if we'll continue right into Moses, because we might get into, as Advent's on Sunday, there might be some holiday themes, but we'll continue in this book of Exodus as penned by Moses and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But I appreciate Jason's insight and study and sharing with us each and every Friday, generally out of this book. And we left off, I guess, a few weeks ago, right around this point where God has been positioning Moses in such a way to say, hey, I'm going to be sending you to talk to the Pharaoh, and you're going to be used to bring my people out into the land so they can find their dependence in me and see that I will provide for them, but you must go. And Moses is a little reluctant.
Yeah, like all of us.
Yeah.
It's interesting because in our culture, we love the idea of what they would say is rugged individualism. You know, that the best amongst us, the truly strongest amongst us, do it all on their own and by their own strength. I mean, just think about all the iconic people that you think of. I mean, one of the things that we celebrate is how they pushed forward through adversity and they did it. They, you know, they grabbed the world by the horns and they did it. And as I was thinking about that kind of rugged individualism, you know, going it alone and getting it done, one of the icons from my childhood that kind of popped up in my head was the Lone Ranger, you know, who was that famous fictional cowboy of radio and television and even movies now, you know, the masked hero who would protect others from harm. It just made me remember, you know, getting up on Saturday morning on WGN on Channel 9 is when it would be on, and I think at 10 or 11 o'clock, I'm not sure.
The Lone Ranger.
Right, you know, I mean, the fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty hi-oh, Silver, the Lone Ranger. You know, and if it was faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring, resourceful, masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again. Hi-yo, Silver, away! You know, and that's what I would hear on Saturday mornings on Channel 9. But I always kind of chuckled even as a kid because you have to note the fact that the Lone Ranger was hardly ever alone.
Yeah.
He always had his trusty horse named Silver, and he always had his constant companion, Tonto. And so because of this, the supposedly Lone Ranger had more friends than many people that I know even do. I mean, more steadfast kind of people around them than some of the people I know even today. And so, you know, as poor as the title was for the Lone Ranger, it's even more so for the believers in Jesus, because we're anything but alone.
Hmm.
You know, God's design for his people is fellowship. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, fellowship with the Spirit, and gathered together in fellowship with God's people. You know, when you minister, when you're in the ministry of God, when you are a part of the people of God, there is no Lone Rangers. It reminded me of a funny joke. The Lone Ranger and Tonto went camping in the desert. And after they got their tent all set up, they both fell asleep. And some hours later, Tonto woke the Lone Ranger up, saying, "Kemosabe, look towards the sky. What do you see?" And the Lone Ranger replied, "I see a million stars." "What does that tell you?" asked Tonto. The Lone Ranger thought for a minute, and he replied, he said, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies out there. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 3:15 in the morning. Theologically, I see the vastness of the Lord and how powerful he is and how small and insignificant we are. Meteorologically, it looks as though we're going to have a beautiful day tomorrow." Tonto looked at him and said, "You are dumber than a buffalo. Someone stole our tent."
Yeah, that's classic.
You know, but I think that that's interesting because when we're living out God's mission, it becomes abundantly clear that no one person can do the entire work of the church. No one can do all the work of the ministry of God. Yet, friends, we still have churches and ministries. We still have people out there who want to do it alone, who want to go alone like the Lone Ranger and to disastrous results. You know, what we need is we need the entire gifts of all the body of Christ to carry out God's call to make disciples and to preach the gospel. And what's interesting is that when God comes to Moses, what does Moses say? He said, "I'm just a nobody. No one will believe me. Just send somebody else, please." And as you read, Mark, it says in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. This is really interesting because God was not angry in Exodus 3:11 when Moses said, "Who am I?" God was not angry in Exodus 3:13 when Moses said, "Who should I say sent me?" God wasn't angry when in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 1 when Moses said, "Suppose they won't believe me." And God was not even angry in Exodus 4:10 when he said that he couldn't speak very well. But God was angry. The anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses when Moses was just plain unwilling. You see, the basic truth...
And that's verse 13. But
yeah.
Moses said, "Oh Lord, please send someone else."
He was just absolutely unwilling. And then the anger of the Lord was kindled against him. You know, the basic truth was that Moses was unwilling, not unable. But he tried like crazy to make his unwillingness look like inability. He tried like crazy to make his unwillingness look like something else. And the Bible teaches that God is slow to anger in Nehemiah chapter 9 and 31, Exodus 34, 6, Numbers 14, Psalm 86, Joel 2:13. There are tons of places that says the Lord is slow to anger. Here, though, the Lord gets angry. The fact that the Lord is slow to anger means that he's not easily angered. But that doesn't mean he doesn't get angry.
Mm-hmm.
Some people go like, "Well, the Lord doesn't get angry." No. The Bible has plenty of places where the Lord does get angry. But the Bible says he's slow to anger, but he does get angry.
Yeah, they'll say, "Oh, God is just love.
Yeah.
All love.
Yeah. No, yeah, God doesn't love to get angry, but he does get angry sometimes.
Yeah.
And so Exodus chapter 4 and verse 14 begins and says, "And he said, he being God, is there not Aaron your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. And he shall speak for you and to the people. He shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him." Notice it says, he, Aaron, is already on his way. Why was he already on his way? Matthew 6:8. Your father knows what you need before you even ask him. God already knew what Moses needed. God already went to Aaron and said, "Aaron, I need you. Come on, buddy." The Lord knows all your abilities, your inabilities, and even your disabilities because they were ordained by him. Only we see the limitations while God sees the possibilities. And God has equipped us with every talent we need to do his will. He's made us the way he made us for his glory, and he has called us. Moses made the same mistake we often make by looking at ourselves instead of looking at God who made us and who's able to use all of our gifts and all of our abilities and all of our failings and all of our inabilities to accomplish all of what he needs and what he calls us to do. And so God already knew that Moses was going to need some help. That's why it says he's already on his way. But there's something deeper that's happening here. Why is Aaron coming? To help with Moses' inability or inadequacy? Well, maybe. But I would say this. Consider that in the Bible, the witness of one person is not enough to establish the validity of anything. Biblically speaking, it requires more than one person to have the validity of something. In the Old Testament, it teaches us that the testimony of one witness is not enough. Deuteronomy 17:6 and 19:5 says, on the evidence of two witnesses or of three witnesses. Two or three witnesses were needed to testify to the evidence of something. In fact, a person's testimony was taken so seriously that if they were found to be a false witness lying, they would receive the same punishment as the one that he testified against, even if the punishment was death. The Old Testament teaches us that two to three people provide a valid witness. So then fast forward to the New Testament, which says this in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there amongst them." That is valid testimony of the presence, power, and prominence of the Lord. Luke chapter 10 and verse 1 says, "After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them out ahead of him, two by two, to provide testimony and witness, a valid witness, into every town and place where he was about to go." The disciples were called, like us, to go give a first-person testimony about Jesus, and they were sent out two by two so that together they could be a valid witness to the work of Christ and also be in agreement and adherence to the Old Testament teachings of God. God doesn't change. Those teachings are still there. If they went out alone, one person's word wouldn't be acceptable. One person's witness would not be acceptable. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1 says, "This is the third time I'm coming to you. Every charge must be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses." We have all these from the Old Testament into the New Testament and into the epistles written by Paul. And Aaron was a pretty, not perfect, but pretty good witness to have. As a Levite, he was set apart for the work of God. And so there's something more than just Aaron's going to come and talk for Moses. Aaron's going to come and provide a valid witness. Exodus goes on to say in verse 15, "You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you both what to do. And he shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as a God to him. And take in your hand this staff with which you shall do the signs." See, God called Aaron to serve as one half of the two witnesses commanded by the law and to serve as Moses' spokesman. God fulfills the biblical mandate himself and provides grace in the midst of Moses' struggle with himself. God provides everything that's needed here so that he might be seen, glorified, and worshipped in the world. Everything that's needed. God provides it because God knows what you need. And the last thing that God tells Moses, he says, "Take this staff in your hand so you can perform the miraculous signs with it." God did not take no for an answer. He still told Moses to take the staff. He still says, "You're going to have to do something. Aaron will get to talk, but you still got to do something. You've got to tell Aaron what to say, and you've got to carry the staff in your hand." God is telling Moses, I understand that you're afraid. I understand that you're having trouble wrapping your mind around this. I understand even that all of that is making you unwilling, but I'm not going to let you off the hook. Not at all. I'm still sending you. I'm still going to use you. And you're going to go in my authority, but also with my assistance. And that's awesome when you think about it, that wherever you go, it's not just that you go in God's authority, but that you also go in God's assistance, that he's there through the power of his Holy Spirit to help you in whatever situations you think. You know what? I've said this so many times, and I believe with all my heart, that when you are in the real estate where you don't think that you can do it, where you think that there's no, you don't even understand how it can possibly happen, you're in the best possible place that you could be, because you're going to actually have to trust in the Lord to be your help. So it's not just that you go in the authority of the Lord, but you go in the authority of the Lord into a place where you know without a doubt that you need his assistance, or else you don't know how it's going to go. And that's the best possible place to be, where you actually have to lean into all that he says that he is in a way where you know that none of it has anything to do with you. What does Corinthians say? So that we would know that the surpassing power comes from him and not from us.
You may have wondered why I grabbed my cell phone, but I was thinking of a text that I got a couple of days ago from a good friend, and he replied to something I said, and he said, sounds great, and then he wrote, the more I find if I trust God, he works things out. And this was a huge undertaking that he had to transition and figure out and work through, and he basically is saying what you're saying too, that God already knows in advance he's going to provide. And this friend of mine was the same. The more we learn to trust in God, the more he learned to trust in God. It all does work out in the end.
It really works out.
Yeah. Oh, a great message out of Exodus chapter 4. We recommend you spend some time in God's Word today, and certainly find a good Bible-believing church this Sunday. Worship with other like-minded believers. And this is a great season in the year where we're focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ, his coming, his birth, his return. Hopefully all those are mentioned somehow in the message or preached or taught. And this Sunday starts Advent, so maybe it'll be a good time to really get grounded and participate in the church and get fed, and then go out and be equipped to serve the world, the hurting world, this week. So we just pray that you'll find the time, you'll make the time, you'll carve out the time, and get into a good church this Sunday. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.